that's undeniable evidence right there that something may have happened. If you can get police records, newspaper clippings, I mean, you name it, microfiche from the library, that's irrefutable evidence of an area. And you can use that to cross verify things if you do have something happen in an area.
And it can provide a lot of supportive evidence of what you've encountered there yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it could not provide anything.
It could not.
And you have to, you know, take that into account as well.
Because
right now, one of the most haunted places that I know of that I think is really haunted is Trainwreck Site in Elginac. And we can find absolutely no evidence whatsoever.
You can't find anything on the area.
Nothing. Zero. Zilch.
But as a historian.
But boy, do I have stories. I mean, seen it. We got photos. We've got our own accounts of what's happened to us. You know, we've got all that.
Yeah.
But we don't have a history of a train wreck.
But there's train tracks under the bridge.
Well, we know that there's a history of a train, you know.
Well, that's undeniable right there.
That's undeniable.
But that ties right into what I was saying.
But we don't know about the wreck. We don't know about people. We don't know about the haunting. There's no evidence of a haunting other than what we've experienced.
Yeah. But I'm talking about history, not detailed history.
What?
History. Wait.
You want to get detailed?
Yeah, I know that. That comes along with time. You're working on
you
this.
You guys,
right,
step out. We need to fight.
We need to fight.
No, stay here.
That comes along with it. I mean, you're working on this, right, Doug?
Working? I'm paying attention. I ask questions when I get opportunities.
But we've all seen train tracks under that bridge.
We know that
is undeniable right there. There was train tracks there. I don't think they built a little section of train track inside to put it under a bridge. This'll screw them up.
We also know, we know things like we know the line, we know who owned it, who ran the line, we know that they had a certain period of years they did have passenger service to Port Huron and back. So other than that, we know that it was used a lot for Chris-Craft, the boat manufacturer, because almost everything
right
up there,
it's all
Chris-Craft. So we know a lot of things, but we do not know about an actual train wreck at the train wreck site.
Yeah, but it's still called the train wreck site.
We still call it the train wreck site. If we keep calling it that, eventually people will just quit asking questions.
Now, as a historian, Dean, I mean, is this the process you go through as a historian right there? Do you argue insensibly with Chris all night long about things that you cannot verify still? I mean,
there's no evidence of a wedding.
But this is, like I said, though, this is important. I mean, I think it's very important. And unfortunately, I mean, coming from my side, I mean, I'm not interested in that. I'm out for the gold. I want the voices on tape. I want the pictures. That's what I'm into. That's what Chris is into also. I know that.
Right.
You like the history side of it.
Well, I kind of look at it as the haunting is the last chapter of the book.
Okay.
And I want to read the rest of it.
Yeah.
What happened here? What caused it?
Yeah, and that's, you know, in the mix, that's naturally a progression from something like that, too, I think. It's okay. It's okay, Dean. That's naturally a progression from that, because what's the first thing you say? I mean, I know everybody sitting in this room has the same type of mind in this respect. Well, the pitcher is blue. Like, the water pitcher is blue. Okay, well, why is it blue? Right? You ask questions about things. Well, because we like the color blue. Well, why do you like the color blue? We're actually basically having the mentality of a four-year-old, more or less. But you ask questions. And wanting to know the history of an area like that, it seems natural for any of us to want to know that. Well, okay, you say there's a ghost here. There's a ghost that walks around here and kisses her lover every November 22nd at 12 o'clock midnight, and they make out for a half an hour, and they get it on, and then they leave.
Wow, where's that on?
I'm just using it as an
example.
Oh boy, he's bringing it out.
He's like, I need to get that hot again.
We're
going to
take notes. We want to
But why does that happen? Well, the history, if you can verify it, possibly could explain that.
Right, that's the tough part.
That's the tough part. I know, and I'm sure there's a lot of investigations that go into that. Do you have any methods you use? I mean, are you a super sleuth? Are you like Columbo? Are you 007? Like, do you get a picture of you all black and white? Like, just,
no, unfortunately, it's a lot of boring work.
Sounds like ghost hunting.
Yeah. Glad it all ties in together real nice.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, I mean, we pick the most boring hobbies. But that's okay. You know, I mean, why not?
We make it fun on this show, though.
Yeah, we do.
With lots of dick jokes.
But we try.
Well, we try.
That helps.
Dick jokes always compliment ghost stories very well, we found out.
Absolutely.
Is there any particular stories that you've actually looked up? Or have you been able to find anything that's...
Denton Bridge. Have you found anything? Have you researched Denton Bridge?
No, I haven't.
Okay, never mind then.
take a note on that one. We have to check that one.
Is there anything that you've actually looked up that you can throw at us?
Well, I mean, my big thing is I'm into the Civil War, that type of thing.
Ooh,
so
okay.
We've spent some time at Gettysburg. Unfortunately, we haven't done a lot of investigations there.
It's hard to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're so blown away by it. We spent, 3 days there?
Mm-hmm.
And we were... Honestly, I mean, I think we can all say this. Okay, let's go ghost hunting. Well, I'm too busy looking at cool stuff, man.
You need like a month.
You need a month. You need a month.
That place is just
it's easy to
amazing.
Research, though.
Yeah, because a lot of people.
Here's a book on the town for only $275. It's a tourist trap. We all know that.
Well, yeah, that's true too.
What are some of the areas you guys hit down there? Because we've been there. I'm just wondering where you guys actually went and hung out at.
Devil's Den.
I think that's like the
round top.
I think for any ghost hunter, it's like, ooh, Devil's Den. There's got to be something cool there. Right?
Yeah,
little round top right across from Devil's Den. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We actually were so privileged to have the bait with us, Bruce.
Yes.
Who sat down with a map on the hood of his car.
Yes, he did.
And explained the whole, what the relation between Little Round Top and Devil's Den was, obviously. I believe, he had the map out there.
He also would, when you had a question,
yeah.
He would access the extensive library that he brought along, a mobile library in the trunk. What he would do is he would...
400
you know,
books.
Yeah, he would swipe a card, insert the key, and turn it a certain number of times the right ways, and enchant an incantation. And then the trunk would open up, and angels would sing... And this glowing light would emerge from the trunk, and all these books, about 400 or so
something,
them,
I think,
would present themselves to him.
And,
at his
and the book, and the book with the question, you know, that would answer the question
would slide up.
It would pop up. It would sing to you. It would open up. And actually, it would actually like a book. Like, it would talk to you like that. Right? It would sit there like a big mouth and go, "Yes, this is what you wanted to know. I am the book."
It was a French book.
For some
wow.
reason. This guy would he explained that. Like,
he knew so much already, but in case somebody had a question, and I did. We had a question that we had to solve, and he brought a mobile library with him, and he is that well.
This guy
read
lived,
and
this guy lives, breathes, and eats the Civil War. This is what his thing was. So we were privileged to have this guy with us. And he explained, like I was saying, that relationship between Little Round Top and Devil's Den. Where else did you guys hit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Couldn't hear that. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Actually, just down the road from Gettysburg is Antietam.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of spots in Antietam that are reported to be haunted.
Okay. What was there? We didn't go there, did we?
No. We couldn't even find Saks Bridge.
No, we couldn't.
How do you think we could find Antietam unless they, like, took us?
Well, there's large signs that you can follow.
Did
on
you
the
find
road.
Saks Bridge? I mean, you'd think it's a big bridge, you know.
That's a good point.
Okay, you're driving around, there's a bridge. Okay, it must be. You know, we couldn't even find the bridge.
Well, if you get a chance, actually, Antietam's about 30 miles from Gettysburg.
Okay.
There's two sites there that are reported to be haunted that, well, we didn't do a formal investigation. They do feel quite haunted. Bloody Lane and Burnside's Bridge.
Okay. What do you know? Did you get any history on these areas?
Oh, yeah. Antietam was actually the...
Chris is like a little cheerleader next to him. I'm going, come on, tell him.
No need.
Tell him all about the history.
Antietam was actually the bloodiest day of battle of the entire Civil War.
In Antietam.
Yes.
That was the bloodiest area.
Yeah, it was the bloodiest day of battle ever to happen.
In Antietam.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's quite a bit of history on Antietam.
Oh, that's amazing. I never heard that before. Honestly, we stayed in Gettysburg more or less. I mean, that's like we were saying before. It's so hard to really do any type of formal investigation.
We were only there 3 days. How long did you guys go for?
Well, we've been there several times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how long together with all the times you've been there? Like, are you talking a couple of weeks total? Or?
Yeah, probably yeah. a couple of weeks.
And that's
yeah.
what it would take. It would take weeks.
It's take not a lot, just a lot more than that.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I'm telling you, because we went for like 3 days.
Yeah, it was at
3 nights or 3 days.
And it rained one of those nights, too, on us.
Right. So,
and they kick you out, like, what, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon out of the park? They want you in there past 4
Get
minutes.
Out.
Yeah, it's closed from dusk till dawn.
Pretty much. It, yeah. I think it was, like, actually at 10 o'clock they wanted you out of there.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really get, unless you, like, you know, you got the in back door with somebody, apparently. Because we know a couple people that have been, like, yeah, I talked to the park people. I had a friend out there, and they let me stay till like, a, you know, 10:15.
10:15, yeah.
Or something like that. You know, they really gave me a break, man. it's very hard to really, but it's just the history out there. One thing I want to ask you guys, I mean, speaking of Gettysburg, and this is what I always ask people, too, is I was talking to some people at this Halloween party I was at last weekend about it. Did you guys really have an interest for history, like when you were younger, like in high school or something like that?
I always have.
You always have? Yeah. What about you, Chris? Yeah, exactly. We share an opinion on that.
Do you know, I'm the same way. I
for some
why do we have a buzz?
I don't know.
Wow.
Who knows?
Anyway. That's our special buzz circuit.
Yeah.
And we've activated it.
It's a brand new circuit we've actually... Who knows?
Neat.
It's something
anyway,
new. It's something new we have to mess
something
with.
Something new, yeah. That's always fun. But no, like the National Geographic, like you would see, they'd make you watch in junior high and high school.
Well, it was never anything that
I
really...
I hated them.
I was so...
Now?
Yeah, I was so deadly bored of history.
And I like, now I have National Geographic Channel, and I like, you know...
Now I sit around reading history all the time. I'm amazed.
History Channel.
Being in Gettysburg was just... I mean, all you could do... Because if you go to Gettysburg, for people that haven't been there, you don't need to go there and spend a whole lot of money. Fortunately, these parks you can go to and all these memorials... They don't have anybody really there charging cover or anything like that.
Right.
You just kind of
wander
walk
around.
In. Yeah, you wander around with a camera and you hang out and you check all these cool things out. It really can be a very cheap trip to go to and you can learn a whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't get caught in any of the tourist trap shops there. That's. I almost bought a cannon.
It's just $1,500.
I'm like, Bonnie, you got a hitch, right? Okay, we can just hook this thing up and take it home with us, man. Because this was a really cool cannon. This is it was a big old metal cannon.
You need one for the front embankment over the, you know, of the winery.
You know how many people want to take my wine?
I know.
People want the wine, dude. They want there's something going on. They want the wine.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a first line of defense. The guard dogs are not cutting it anymore. So I figured we'd buy a cannon.
Well, they're always drunk. And yeah.
We can't keep them. You can't
since
keep
they,
them sober.
Since they switched from water over to wine, that's what they are.
Well, yeah. It's ridiculous. So I thought Bonnie wouldn't let me buy the cannon. But it was really, you know, it was one of these shops that sell. You can get your own Civil War painting for only $1,500. You know? Like, it's a painting. It's a poster wrapped in a
frame.
In a poster frame like I have all over the place around here. $1,500. That's all I want.
Wow.
Good deal.
Whoever Sharla is.
Whoever Sharla is. Let's move on for a minute here. Sharla, welcome to the show.
Thank you for letting us come.
Hey, you guys just kind of came, like we said, you guys just kind of appeared here a second ago. I don't know what happened.
It's the magic of Halloween.
Now, when we were at August 20th,
yeah.
The GLPR picnic.
Yes, we were.
Chris was the he did a presentation, like I said before, on spirit photography.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit photography.
Yes.
Okay. Sharla did a presentation on EVPs. That buzz went away, thank goodness, too.
Oh, thanks for deactivating that.
Yeah, thanks for getting rid of that buzz. Yeah. Sharla did a presentation on EVP, which was equally as incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Sharla, welcome. Say hello.
Hello. Thanks, guys.
There is a whole 10 people listening to you right now. Do you realize that?
That's probably 9 more than what normally listen
to. She cuts out the middleman, goes right for the throat.
She does.
She don't care. Hey, that's okay. I like that. I like somebody that takes charge. Give her a mic. We'll put her on. You got a job now.
You are not.
You can rip on us better than anybody can. Yeah. That's awesome.
I have 2 kids and a grandson, you know.
Are they bigger smartasses than myself or Doug?
I think I'm probably the biggest.
you are an EVP specialist. Am I correct, Cheryl?
I'm well-versed in EVP, yes.
That's
not an answer. Are you a politician?
No, she totally dodged that question.
You've studied EVPs,
yes,
right?
And
you know, because I know I learned from you.
Well, I don't want to call you an EVP expert. I don't want to call anybody. I don't call anybody an expert.
Well, we'll go with specialist.
I like that.
I'm not an expert.
I think specialist is a good term to go with. How long have you been working on EVPs? I'm just curious. That's kind of like our bread and butter around
here too. Is it your main interest, or is it?
It is
a side interest. It's your main interest.
It's a main interest, along with ghost hunting. So.
Mm-hmm.
We actually brought a couple of EVPs from a residence where I conducted an EVP.
You brought them here?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to mention. Chris did bring those. We're going to listen to those in a little while to check out.
Oh, cool.
We'll do that for sure.
Did Will get them and everything?
Yeah. Well, Chris is like super high-tech boy, too, we found out. At the picnic, we're like, okay, yeah, we're going to come out to the picnic. Cool. So we just kind of like, put our clothes on. And then we got in the car and drove out there.
We remembered batteries is what we did.
Yeah.
And that was...
and we just came there. I think we actually... Well, except for Will. He didn't have his Ghostly Talk shirt on. He was a non-believer that day. But we actually came in full uniform, which was our T-shirts. And we thought, well, hey, man, we're going all out for this. We brought our T-shirts. We brought a couple of stickers to give
you. You wore shorts for that as well.
Yes, I did. I wore shorts for that. Yes, yeah. I did. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know I wore shorts, but I really appreciate that. It warms my heart to know that you're looking at my legs at all times. But here comes Chris, though. He actually comes in with the Grimstone Inc. helicopter. It lowers itself in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And they start... He has a whole team of people, like these big, muscly guys with machine guns. And they start bringing out just, one metal case after another, right? And we're like, okay.
They set up computers and projectors and widescreen TVs. And it looked like NASA, I think, when they were
It was running. Absolutely amazing. And we're standing there with our T-shirts in our hand going, wow, cool. All right, guys, I think we're whatever, it was great to have. I mean, both you guys presented the same manner, and it was amazing. I never seen somebody do such a wonderful presentation on something like that. Both you guys covered that very well. And, it was really great to see people doing that kind of work. And that's the one thing I wanted to mention, too. You guys have been around since 1999, right? I've been hearing about you guys since I started ghost hunting, right? Which,
Yeah, well, we're talking 4 or 5 years, so you guys have been around going on 7.
Yeah, but you were always this group, though. I've talked to people like, yeah, I talked to those people. I talked to Grimstone. I'm like, really? You talked to Grimstone, huh? And they're like, yeah. I'm gonna work with them. I'm like, more power to you, And then I'd never hear about it ever again.
Yeah, I know.
And that person would just disappear, too. That person would just go completely away. And there was always this, who are these Grimstone people? These people are really serious. I went to the website a bunch of times. I'm like, these people really don't mess around, as opposed to us, where we're just, we do the radio show, and you guys have been sitting here for the last 2 hours. You've seen how it works. Uh-oh.
Well,
here comes another shot at us.
That's where the Men in Black was created from.
No, really?
Oh, that's where
you're the originals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then we found out
at
this picnic we were going to, we heard Grimstone's going to be there. I'm like, whoa, we better take a shower for this thing or something. Cause, this is very serious. These Grimstone people, because like I said, we usually are in contact with just about everybody we can. And I don't know if I ever sent you guys an email or anything like that or whatever. It may have happened one day. We're kind of like Jeff Bellinger last week, and we're like kind of like these two passing boats on the harbor, and we nod to each other as we come by, but we never officially stopped and talked, you know what I'm saying? But you guys always kind of had that for some reason. I heard Grimstone. Oh, that's dumb. Okay, those people, they're serious. this is the real deal. It really is great, though, because you guys, just by the presentation alone, at that picnic, you guys were absolutely, this was like a serious presentation. The facts were there. You laid it down. Both of you laid it down with handouts, too. Doug, you remember the handouts?
Handouts. I have some in my car.
Unfortunately, I got a little bit chilly from my hot dog on one of those things. But still, I was able to read it, thank goodness. We went through all this stuff conclusively. It was amazing work you guys did. I can't say enough of that. You guys gave us that really cool thing, too, by the way. Thanks again. That's really neat.
No problem.
You guys are actually, what we're doing tomorrow, I just want to hit this real quick. I want, if you can, Chris, or you're the historian, why don't we put the mic in front of your face right now?
That's a
I didn't really mean
way
that.
Of putting it.
You see the, oh, man. tomorrow, Halloween, you guys have got something very special going on. You guys want to talk about that for a second?
Sure.
Okay.
We're going to be at the Fenton Hotel.
Okay.
In beautiful downtown Fenton, Michigan.
Watch this. Hey, what's the history on the Fenton Hotel?
Fenton Hotel was built in 1856.
Was that a segue?
Shut up. No segues. Okay. I'm not allowed to do segues on this show. That's okay. Professional. You can't do that.
All right.
And it was built in 1856?
1856.
Okay.
It served as a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It was a halfway point on the railway
mm-hmm.
for a stop. They stopped acting as a hotel in the 60s and 70s. They're now a restaurant. It's
mm-hmm.
been restored to its beautiful glory.
Mm-hmm.
They're purported to be haunted. I think Chris can tell you a little more about that.
Okay.
Well, there's a number of things that have happened at the Fenton. Early 1900s, there was a train of horses that broke free, and they decided to run up on the sidewalk and knocking posts between them over as they went, tearing down the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
There's been stories that keep trickling through as far as history of a young woman that hung herself outside the third story window,
mm-hmm.
Who now still is lurking in the shadows there.
Uh-huh.
There's just a large variety of different comings and goings. One of the things that we look at with areas is the amount of energy and the people that have been through there and talking about emotional times.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fenton, being so old, has seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this energy it seems to be stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably the biggest ghost that everyone on staff knows about is Emery, who's the old caretaker there.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived there through the 50s all the way through the 70s up mm-hmm. in the upstairs area. And when it gets too noisy, Emery lets them know with poundings on the ceiling to calm down after hours.
Oh, my goodness.
So we were very lucky. We talked with Nick, who's the owner there, who runs the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us permission to go up into the inner workings of the Fenton. These rooms have been closed off for so many years that we had to pry boards off of them to get into the good spots.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like every time we visit that place, something new and unusual, happens to us. So we're really happy that we have the opportunity to share it with the public
mm-hmm.
Tomorrow.
And you guys are doing tours tomorrow, am I correct?
Well, what we're offering is kind of a history-type ghost tour with a dinner. And it gives the people a chance to come in and see what we do. We're going to have different stations set up,
mm-hmm.
one on EVP, electromagnetic field detectors.
Mm-hmm.
We have a nice multiplexer with digital cameras throughout the place.
Do you guys have a beryllium crystal subtle energy transducer?
No, you guys keep talking about it. We get jealous every time. I've been trying to search on the web pages.
We'll show it to you. We have it here. It's put away in the vault right now.
It's in the vault. Yeah.
We'll have to call Igor and have him come get it for us.
Well, we're ending Ghostly Talk now. Pioneer.rolo.
No, we'll let you. We're going to be there tomorrow.
Okay.
We're going to come and hang out with you guys tomorrow night also.
Oh, we're excited about it.
And we're going to bring that with us tomorrow. We want to try it. We've been kind of tinkering around with this thing and stuff like that. As a matter of fact, Marcus Leader, the gentleman who built this device, I have to hit our P.O. box because he sent us some CDs. Of actual tones. We were discussing them last week. We had Marcus on last week, didn't we?
He couldn't sign into ghostlytalk.com earlier. So I changed his password. I know you tried to. What? Right, it gives errors. But I fixed that. Well, I didn't fix that. I just changed
his
password.
He was on the show last week, wasn't he? I think he was on last week.
He was on sometime.
He's been on a billion times. We love the guy. He's an amazing person. He's the guy that actually built the device. He actually sent us a CD that I have to pick up from our P.O. box that has a bunch of crazy new tones that he's been using as experiments. So I was going to grab one of my old radios with a CD player and bring this this piece of equipment out tomorrow night and try it out there and see if we come across anything possibly.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's too many people that have that thing.
Have you gotten EVP out of Fenton yet?
Well, as far as actual recordings, no, but we've actually been in rooms where we've heard voices right next to us and comment in, which is a little unsettling for a few members.
Yeah. Well, that's because, normally EVP, you wouldn't hear it. right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain kinds of EVP, evidently, that people do, you can hear. Sometimes you hear things that don't go on the recorder. So it's very definitely an interesting science. And but hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to get something.
We'll see. I just want to go there and check the place out, first of all. This place was built in 1856.
Yes.
More history for us to play around with, but it's still a very cool thing. I mean, just one thing I keep saying this a lot, and I know Doug can agree with me on this too. I always use Mansfield as an example. And I probably said this last week, but I'll say it again this week. Why not? people go to certain areas. They go to, you know, historic areas to research and do ghost hunting and stuff like that. And they get frustrated when they don't get, you know, an apparition, you know, throwing metal horns at them or something like that, you know, in front of the camera. They get frustrated with that. Sometimes people neglect the area they're in, I think. I mean, I know Mansfield's one of the places we love to go to, and this is a very, very, very old prison. Largest freestanding cell block on the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
it's an amazing place. It's an absolutely amazing place to be at. And we all know, sitting here, that you're not always going to get, you know, the ultimate evidence.
Well, that's because we've been ghost hunting before. I think a lot of people... I went once.
I've read about it.
I saw it on the internet once.
I saw that show on Sci-Fi, and those guys said they had a pretty good time.
Yeah, so, but no, the, you do. Sometimes you miss just the place that you're in. You're trying to pay attention to all the stuff, but you miss, like, wow, Mansfield is huge.
Yeah.
Mansfield is historic. Mansfield has
a structure to be in.
Of architecture, a lot of history, just an amazing place.
I know that nowadays,
people miss it.
I know going on hunts in places like the Fenton, for example, I like to go and just walk through the place before I start doing any work. I like to go check the place out. Let's see what we got going on here. I don't want to trip and kill myself on anything, so let's walk through and get familiar with the area and see how cool it is. And then let's flick the lights off or, you know, do the seance or sacrifice the goat or whatever we have to do on front to get things going, right? Are we going to be doing any of that tomorrow night?
I hope not.
No goats, right? No, we're having a dinner,
sheep,
right?
But
you are having it. Well, then we can kill two birds with one stone, right?
Yeah, there
right?
you go.
Let's
okay.
get the, let's fire up the pit, wrap that thing in tin foil, throw them in there. Right? Good to go. We'll do our chants from the Necronomicon as we're cooking the goat, and then we can go start ghost hunting. I like... What the hell am I doing?
I don't know.
I've got to get out of this business real quick.
You replanned the entire evening tomorrow.
I know. Hey, man. I'm always there to help. But no, I think it's always good to go through an area like that and just check the place out. I'm sure you guys have done it 1,000 times at the Fenton. I mean, it's something you guys have just checked the place out, walked around there without any cameras or recorders or beryllium crystal energy modulators or anything like that in your hand. Just let's get familiar with the area and appreciate the area for where it is. That's a real important thing, I think, people. Obviously, Dean, you know this. We've talked about it. History is a big part of this thing now. It's a growing trend now. I think the longer we do this, the more we keep an eye on this, and the more we keep our hands on the pulse of the paranormal community, you're going to see a lot more people coming out and wanting to discuss the history of the area and find out what's going on. And I think that's what I'm going to really appreciate tomorrow night when we go there. You said you're going to have stations set up at this thing now?
Yes. Well, you know, a number of people want to go out and try and learn what ghost hunting is. So we took the time to, you know, try to brainstorm ideas, and
mm-hmm.
we wanted to share with them, you know, what we do on our work on, you know, after our day job.
Mm-hmm.
So we set up a number of stations throughout the Fenton. It'll give people an opportunity to check out some of our equipment
mm-hmm.
and actually conduct an investigation of their own and let them decide whether the Fenton is truly a place that's haunted, you know, or just, you know, a lot of stories.
Yeah, and that's, you guys are actually putting these people in the situation, letting them try it out, see what they can find out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think of a better group to, you know, put this in the hands of myself, just by seeing you guys in action, just doing a presentation. I'm really excited to see, you know, just to see how this all goes down tomorrow night. Will, why don't we take a quick break, man? Is that okay, Will?
No.
Give me... We have like the mean butler here,
yeah.
as the engineer now. He's like, I don't want to take a break, Scott. Yeah, let's do a quick break here, guys. I think we all need a break. It's like 8:30 already, guys. Why? This whole night's flown.
Oh.
Did I smoke some weed or something?
We're breaking.
I'm hearing my heartbeat.
We're broken.
We're broken?
Yes.
Okay, we're out of here.
Written by Scott L. of Ghostly Talk in 2003 was intended for satirical and entertainment purposes only within the paranormal community.
Welcome to Scott L.'s Guide to Finding the Right Ghost Hunting and Paranormal Research Group for you.
Hey there, guys. And if you're not guys, that would probably make you girls. So hello, guys and girls. A lot of people ask me, Scott L., how can I get myself into an active ghost hunting group that goes on hunts, does research, and basically be as cool as you? Well, there's a lot to that. There are a lot of things you want to look at and observe before you sign your soul over to the certified nutjob or full-blown crack addict who elected himself president of the club you are pledging yourself to. The best thing to do is go on a ghost hunt with the group you are interested in and see what they are all about, so to say. Here are some things you want to look for. Number one. As an observer, the first thing you want to note of is the group's leadership. Watch how the self-appointed president treats the other members. Here is what you want to look for in a good leader. A. The group president is in control of everything. No one else can have any delegated job of any significance. This is the president's vision, so no input is needed from anyone. B. Make sure he treats the vice president like complete garbage. Also make sure he treats anyone who helps him out in starting his, quote, business, end quote, like complete garbage. That way you know he takes no garbage, and the group is run like a pirate ship full of transvestites in a hurricane. C. The group president is not put in for gas money. He has all of his money invested in the group's website costs, t-shirts, and borrowed computer from Rent-A-Center to build the group's website anyways. Look for these things and you can be confident that you will be joining a group with flawless leadership and no skeletons to find out about in the future. Number two. Everything you see and hear is a ghost, without a doubt. You want to belong to a group that has already decided before they put their foot in a cemetery that the afterlife is real. Number three. Carrying on rule number two, when you see or hear a ghost, you want to make sure that everyone you are with, including the people driving by the cemetery, know that you saw or heard one. So let them know in the most dramatic way possible. This will convince them that there is a ghost around, and a million flashes will go off at the same time, blinding and killing any forest animals within a 10-mile radius. Number four. Remember, this is a serious investigation. Things are going to need to be organized and quiet. So bring as many people as possible. You see, if there's a group of 25 people giggling, smoking cigarettes, and talking about how scared they are at the top of their lungs, the ghost will try to be louder to get your attention and possibly manifest themselves as an apparition in front of you. Number five. Make sure all of the members bring their cell phones with them to call their friends at the keg party they are missing to say, "You won't believe where I'm at right now." Number six. There is only one kind of flashlight. Million candle illuminators. These are the only thing to use in a place of rest and serenity, such as a cemetery. Remember, if you can't land a helicopter with it, you can't ghost hunt with it. Number seven. Make sure when going out on an adventurous night of ghost hunting that everyone attending drives separately. This way, when the police drive by the cemetery you are investigating at 1 in the morning and see a sight resembling Joe's used car lot, they are assured that the group has assembled to guard the cemetery from evil wrongdoers who wish to come in the cemetery for a night of urinating on, licking, and humping the tombstones located there. If you watch closely for these things while pledging different ghost hunting groups, rest assured, you will find yourself in a world-class investigation unit, worthy of global attention for outstanding documentation and ethics in paranormal investigations. So with that, good luck and good hunting from your friend and probably your boyfriend, Scott L.
This is Pat Fitzhugh of the Bell Witch website, www.bellwitch.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya!
Rob Zombie, I know it is. That's Rob Zombie. So I'm right then. You can't fight back. That's Rob Zombie.
I don't know.
I know that. I had about 15 guesses, but that's right. That's Rob Zombie.
15 guesses?
That's Rob Zombie.
It's Marilyn Manson. No, it's not.
It's Black Sabbath. No. It's Rob Zombie. Chris, please, in the mic. In the mic, please.
I think it is Rob Zombie.
It's Rob Zombie. You're not going to find out.
I'll call Rob.
Hey, Chris, can you find him out, please? Let him know again.
Rob Zombie.
Thank you. Will, guess what?
Zombie.
You've just found out. You've just found out, Will. Okay. Chris, can you tell him one more time?
Rob Zombie.
We are back. This is Ghostly Talk. I am Scott L.
I am still Doug.
And Will's...
I'm Chris.
All right.
Will's replacement.
We have a mighty, 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 mighty Gribstone in the studio live with us tonight. Again, guys, thanks for coming out and hanging out with us all night and putting up with all of our, you know, buzzes and clicks and pops and breakdowns.
Really happy to materialize here.
How'd you do that, by the way?
With gas prices, it's cheaper to materialize.
It's cheaper to do it this way.
You gotta teach me that one, man. Because, I mean, I've been blowing a lot of money on gas lately. I can really use the help, man. No, great. Thank you. Thanks again, guys. We really appreciate you coming down. It really is an honor for us to have a group like yourself coming on the show. And really, I mean, it seems like you guys dig our show, too. And that really kind of warms our hearts. Because especially with this really cool thing you gave us, this beater stick that I'm going to waste Will with later on.
It's Rob Zombie.
It's got this really nice ergonomic handle on it. You can just beat the crap out of somebody.
It must be Rob Zombie, then.
It's Rob Will. It's Rob Zombie, man.
Ooh, the violence, yeah.
You guys, we have a couple of EVPs that we're going to talk about in a minute. I'm just giving up now. I don't care. You have a website. You have a website. And I really feel bad because I haven't pimped it like 50 times for you guys. What is your website?
Well, we actually have two at this point.
Whoa.
our main one, which we've had for this, you know, the 7 years, is grimstone-inc.com,
mm-hmm.
And that's about our organization.
Okay.
But recently, some refugees from the paranormal world
mm-hmm.
Asked us to help them create a wonderful new site.
Mm-hmm.
It's called spiritsociety.org.
Okay.
It has, basically, it's focused on ghosts and hauntings, and it's there for people to help people with situations.
Okay.
And within 2 months, we've picked up 150, you know, registered members there.
Wow.
All of which are tuned in tonight.
Wow.
It's a requirement for membership.
Oh, I see. Now, Doug, we need to give Chris a big old hug after the show.
I think so.
You must listen to Ghostly Talk, or you will not be a member anymore. I love it. It's beautiful. SpiritSociety.org, you said?
Yes.
And GrimstoneInc.com. Grimstone-Inc.com.
Yes.
This is the home of the brilliant, brilliant Grimstone. I've been there a bunch of times myself, especially since the picnic. I've just been like, wow, I actually got to meet these people. I'm like probably one of the only people in the area. And the funniest part is you guys are like very local to the winery here, too.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were based out of Ann Arbor.
Well, we do have a conference room in Ann Arbor, which we use for our monthly meetings.
Okay.
But a good majority of us are local right here in wonderful Warren.
Well, that was the funniest part at the picnic is we're like, so, yeah, like, where are you from, man? Like, you know, is it about, you know, Barno or something like that? And we're like, oh, actually, I'm from Warren. I'm like, what?
Yeah, like, we've even gone to the same school.
Oh, you're... You were waiting just to lunge at me. You were like a tiger waiting to lunge. We did.
It was your segue.
Thank you so much. We actually did. You graduated in 92.
Yes.
And I graduated in 93 from Warren High School. And you know what he even did, Doug?
What?
He even brought the friggin' yearbook to prove it.
Well, I saw him looking through a yearbook.
Yeah, and it's actually my mullet phase, too.
Ooh.
I had this really cool, kicking, like, crimped out, curly mullet.
Are we going to have that on the ghostlytalk.com website?
It's been threatened, I hear. It's been threatened, yeah, especially... Yeah. The people out there that don't get to see us do this thing, Chris, like, through the show, this whole show, every time I turn around there, he'd have the book in his hand like a knife going, sticking it at me, right? Going, yeah, look at you, man. You're like, you know, what was that? When did I graduate? 93? So I was like 12 years ago. Oh, my God. And 13 for you.
Yep.
We're both very old now. You realize that. We both have a beard, too.
I'm
handling it myself very well. But yeah, we both did. I know you mentioned to me via email, because you heard me mention Mr. Cutter.
Yes.
Mr. the mighty Jeffrey Cutter, who was my band director, and you mentioned that. I'm like, no way. And so yeah, we're both alumni. So we have that bond, Doug. Do you see that?
Right.
Do you see
I understand.
The similar aura we both have around us?
Yeah. Did either of you go to the Warren High School that has the radio station in it, WPHS?
No, that was Cousin O High School. Mm-hmm. Cousin O High School was WPHS.
Right.
That's just down the street right here.
Right, that's down the street from here. And you guys didn't go to that one?
No. No, that was a totally different school. Warren High School now is a community center for people. I don't know what it's... Well, it was a great thing. They shut our wonderful... Because, Chris, you can agree with me. Warren High School was probably one of the most wonderful places to be on the planet. It was just an awesome place. I loved high school there. People were great. And they said, we need to shut the school down because we don't have the money.
And then they built a water slide.
And then they built a water slide. They built an amusement park on there, and they turned it into a community center for people. And
there you go.
We've been wondering that for a very long time. Thank you, Chris. We finally got it on the air, didn't we? We've both been talking about it. But yeah, check out grimstone-inc.com.
Is that near the haunted hill in Warren? Where was that hill we went to where somebody like was sliding down and
Lamphere High School?
Oh, that's a different high school. Never mind.
That's where I was supposed to go to high school, actually. You know, we just drove by there the other day too. Me and Amber drove by there, and I told her about that place. You guys are familiar with that, aren't you? The haunted Lamphere High School hill / landfill?
A little bit, yes.
It's supposed to be, there's a landfill, this hill for people out there. There's a hill in Madison Heights, Michigan by a school called Lamphere High School. And there's this giant hill that was a landfill at one time. They built a hill on top of it. And the hill, over the years, I watched this personally, has been going like a foot every year. It's getting smaller and smaller. At one time, this hill was gigantic. And now it's just a little hill now, and apparently there's a few bodies in this landfill, from what we understand. That's what the story is, and you can hear laughs around the area now.
What's the
story?
What's the official story on Shadowlands? I saw. Did you call it up? The entire show.
Have you?
Well, what's the official
story? What's the
story
on there?
You can have my microphone.
Ooh. This is going to be great. Will's going to talk.
Okay, it says, during the early 60s, there was a killer loose in Madison Heights.
Mm-hmm.
He used to bury his bodies in the landfill, which is now a hill used for sledding right next to Lamphere High School.
Yep.
Every once in a while, you can hear insane laughter around the school.
Thank you, Mom and Dad, for taking me to that hill every winter and putting me on top of the dead bodies of millions. I appreciate that. Yeah, I went there every year and sledded, every single year. And I think there was a few dead bodies as a result of sledding there, because the one side of that hill was steep, man. It was ugly. And, I mean, there was carcasses lined up from, you know, you'd build that makeshift hill in the snow, and you'd jump that thing and go about 50 feet in the air, and then you'd hit the brick wall on the other side. I mean, that was fun. That's what we did for fun back then. But that's one of the other stories. It's very local to us right around here, too. But
that wasn't the high school. See, I get all my high schools mixed up, so I was unsure. So that's even a whole different city. Oops.
Oof.
You know.
Well, Doug, Madison you didn't go to high school, though, didn't you?
Well, I skipped high school and went straight to kindergarten.
I thought that was before they even had an educational process in place. I mean, that was... Didn't you go to school with Socrates or something at the time?
Yeah, we had a one-room schoolhouse, but it was more of a...
On top of a moat.
It looked a lot like Stonehenge.
You guys have some EVPs you want us to hear. Can we check these out?
Yeah, we do have a couple.
We're bantering about stupid stuff like high school between me and you. And
hey, we talked about a haunting.
Uh-oh, we have a call. Here, let's see who this is. Here, go. Hang on.
Please turn your radio down. I've wanted to say that forever. Hey, you're on Ghostly Talk.
I done did turn it down.
Oh, no. Hi, Mom L.
So we took you to the Death Hill, did we?
Thanks, Mom.
Gee, what a coincidence, and now that's what we talk about is death and ghosts.
See, Mom, it's all your fault.
I called to tell you one thing.
What?
I think I know.
Boo, bitch! Happy Halloween! Well,
thanks for making your presence known again.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just one of them things that your little mama has to do.
I appreciate it, Mom.
Yeah, I cooked you the best lasagna, son.
Thanks, Mom!
Okay.
I don't know how to cook. I can't cook.
He cooked 10 pounds of rice last night. He eats only. Right. He eats only when you're not feeding him. He eats rice, plain
lemon rice soup.
Nope, just rice.
Just
plain.
Rice.
Rice tapioca.
Out of the box.
Ugly white rice. Just gross white rice. Because I'm.
Why would you cook anything like that?
Because I'm trying to get buff, Mom. So I look good.
I told you that white rice isn't good for you. You need to use brown rice.
Okay, I'll go get brown rice then.
Yeah.
I just bought 25 pounds of white rice, though. I'm not kidding. It's in the kitchen. I'll show it to you guys.
I never heard anybody buy in bulk like that.
He does. He bought tons of white rice, and he cooked up a thing, and it fits in a 55-gallon drum.
Oh, my God.
Mom, we have to go.
I do, too. I got to go potty.
Oh. She's a more racy radio host than any of us
She's
could ever wish to be.
I know.
Well, I'm just teasing, but I wanted to throw that in.
Of course. Especially this is our Halloween show. Thank you, Mom Al.
Okay, have a good night.
Love
Thank
you, Mom.
You.
Talk to you later.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Goodbye.
Love you.
I love you, too. Bye.
Oh, boy, that just broke the mood, didn't it?
That was my EVP.
Awesome.
That's when my mom, God forbid my mother ever passes away because I don't want her to, but, you know, we all live the similar life. I think that will be the EVP I'll pick up from her, though, will be boo, bitch, because she says it all the time now. It's ridiculous.
It's right on our homepage.
Speaking of EVPs, though.
Was
that the segue of the show or what?
That
right
was
there?
Awesome.
That was hot. We do have a couple EVPs that we're going to check out. Are those queued up? Are those queued up, Will? Will, are you there? Hello, Will. He's like sitting here just like this blank look on his face. What? Are you looking at porno again during the show?
No.
Poor Will.
Oh, he's adjusting a knob.
Oh, God, no. We're not going to... Are we... Okay. Okay, this tension is killing me, Will.
Okay.
All right, so okay. Well, before we do this, don't give it away. We know the protocols. But can you just tell us where you were at, possibly, when you recorded
and
this?
Who was there?
Yeah, who was there?
Well, this was a private home down in Romulus.
Okay.
We were asked to come in. They had a number of different things going on. And during the investigation, we took an EVP session. And in this case, it wasn't a direct one where we were asking a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
We had the tape recorder going, just trying to pick up any ambient sounds in the air.
Okay.
What you'll hear first is two of our investigators out in the bathroom area of this private bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little extra voice, you know, pop in.
Okay. Let's give it a listen, Will. Let's hear it one more time. Okay, I'm fresh out of this one. What are we listening for now that we've heard it?
It's that growling voice
I hear something.
At the very end, right?
Go ahead and hit us with it, Chris.
Sounds like three or four syllables.
Well, what a number of us, you know, heard was, mm-hmm. "Come on, goodbye, come on, goodbye."
Okay.
So there.
Well, you said there was two people. Where now?
Well, you hear in the this was a master bedroom.
Okay.
I had an attached bath.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking at some evidence in the bathroom, and mm-hmm. you can kind of hear the mumbling in the beginning.
Yeah.
That's them talking in the bathroom.
Yeah.
However, this other, you know, thing uh-huh. kind of was a bit louder,
yeah.
closer to the recorder. That was still in the master bedroom when it was closed off and there was no one around.
Okay. Let's listen to it one more time, Will. That cuts right through clear, too. Let's hear it one more time, and then we'll move on. It's like a whisper like that. We get a lot of those. Have you guys heard a lot of those like that, too, where we seem to hear a lot of EVPs? They seem to be like this really loud whisper like this, which I have a microphone so I can make it sound cool. But that seems to come through like that, and you do hear that. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Let's go, come on. What's the other one we have?
Well, first, what equipment?
Yeah, what were you using to record that with?
Well, in this case, we actually used just a little digital voice recorder.
10? 4? Wow.
8?
<Sorry, laughs> Do I hear 12?
Awesome.
4 minutes to go.
Sorry,
all right, let's hurry up.
You used a little digital...
Just a little digital tape voice recorder.
It was tape? Or
It was actual digital.
It was actual digital, okay. And did you use an external mic on there, or was it just the recorder itself?
It had an external microphone.
It had an external microphone? Very cool. You guys know...
Was it a subtle energy transducer?
You don't have a subtle energy transducer? My God, guys.
Well, you have to wait for the Fenton when we do some real-time EVP analysis.
Right.
Ooh.
Ooh, that'll rock.
I can't wait for that.
All right,
we have another one here.
Let's hear this one, too. Set up the second one. Where were you? Who was there?
The second one's the same type of investigation. This
mm-hmm.
time... They were actually trying to get some EVP,
mm-hmm.
and they were asking the spirit to participate, and they asked if it was a good spirit, I thought. Are you a good spirit?
Uh-huh.
And we got a short but sweet answer.
Okay.
Let's go back, Kurt.
Well, I heard that short but sweet answer. That was pretty obvious.
Let's hear that one more time, Will, if you don't mind.
Let's go back, Kurt.
There's not much chance of that saying
yes. Can we hear that just one more time? I just want to drive this nail into
it
the coffin.
That's a shiver up and down my spine.
Let's go back, Kurt.
Sounds like an average weekend for me.
No.
That's heavy, man.
It's saying no. I mean,
that's heavy.
It is clear
it's
as a bell.
It's a breathy no. Can we hear it one more time? I just want to hear it one more time. Will's typing in his...
No.
Let's go back, Kurt.
Who was all there on this, I mean, if you remember, who was all there when this one was recorded?
This one was myself, Sharla, and we had...
It sounds like Sharla was speaking. Was that you? Okay.
And you said, one other researcher in the background.
Okay. And you said, are you a good or bad spirit? That's what it sounded like. And they answered you.
Did you hear it with your ears or only upon...
Only upon review.
Wow.
There was nothing going on at that time. I mean,
that's a heavy voice, too. It's very breathy. And it's amazing, too, because you hear the... I mean, we've discussed all these dynamics of EVPs, some of the stuff that we've picked up in the field and whatnot. And right there is two other good examples. You have the first example, which was a very strong whisper, and then, which, you know, you kind of have to listen for it a little bit. And then the next one, that's clear as a bell. It comes right through. I mean, very breathy, but very much more loud. It actually sounded like somebody was saying it, like, loud. They weren't whispering it like this. Absolutely amazing work. Unfortunately, Doug, what time is it over there, Will? I mean, what?
59.
Oh, my God.
We have 1 minute, so we might as well close the show. I have to
thank
you so much to Grimstone for being here live in studio with us.
Yeah, guys, it really was a pleasure to have you here. Really, you're great.
Thank you.
Clapping for you guys. You guys were amazing.
You guys were.
Thank you.
You guys do great work. Like I said, you've always been one of those groups I've heard about and never really was able to, like, you know, meet, and it really wasn't a pleasure and an honor to meet some fellow researchers like yourself. And we hope to have you back on again. We'd love to have you guys back here.
We'd love it.
And thank you for sharing your Halloween with us, or your Devil's Night with us.
and yeah, we'll see you all tomorrow. And also, I have to say thank you to Pioneer Radio Networks. It's pioneer.rolo.net. Thank you to Omnisound Radio 1.
Yeah, we hope we didn't offend you too much this
week. It's omnisound.us. Mm-hmm. Our own website is, of course, www.ghostlytalk.com.
Yes.
Where, of course, we've got the journals and the forums and just everything going on. We'll be moving that around shortly, though.
There's some big changes coming up.
Big changes. It'll be very exciting.
Yes.
Other than that, we'll see you here again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
We're gonna have the new schedule up this week, too, for November also. There's people have been asking me about that. And the new schedule for November will be up this week, so you guys know what's happening for the month of November.
Yes. And so we'll be here from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, the first Sunday in November, and we'll hopefully talk at you then. So with that, thank you, everybody, for listening.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Chris.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, guys. Have a great holiday. This is our time to roar. Enjoy your Halloween tomorrow night, because we know we are.
And be safe.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.